getting late. Oh, please don't hesitate. Put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. Just wait and see. Children cry, put a little love in your heart. You want the world to know, we won't let hatred grow. Put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. Just wait and see.
I'm not even sure if I remember how to do this stuff. No, it's so good to have you here in the sanctuary. Those that are viewing online, Pastor Mike and I kind of did a high five passing ourselves in the hall. And so guess what? Pastor Mike and Kristen are doing and being part of their son's wedding. And so he won't be here this weekend. And we just always wish them the best. As truly you're able to do that for your kids. Suzanne and I had a wonderful time, and thanks for your prayers, because it truly was a remarkable two weekends, and the time that we were able to spend together. So thank you for that. Just a couple of announcements, because you see here at Desert Hills, we celebrate and we make disciples. Who?
Make a difference.
Yeah, it never gets old, does it? But it's one of those things of where we're actually able to call, and it allows us to be grounded as we continue to be the people of God that God has called us each to be. We do pray for all those that are making their way to Desert Hills. We also pray for all of you who have you've returned. If you've made that trek, we truly always pray that there is that safety as people come. Just a couple of announcements as we continue. The Food Fun Fellowship is going to have another board game afternoon this Thursday, that is September 28th, from 2 to 4 p.m. And so if you haven't been before, just come. It's just an opportunity to play games. And it's an opportunity, again, to get to know each other better. Hard to believe, but next weekend is that first weekend of October. And as such, we're going to be, again, putting out the bins for the food banks. And so please make sure that that's part of your calendar and part of your giving. The bins will be down the hallways so that you can come and you can bring that. We're going to be having a blood drive on Tuesday, October 3rd. Tuesday, October 3rd. It's going to be held in the chapel area. That worked out so well last time. So just to make note of that, to make a reservation, just call the 1-800 Red Cross as you've done before, because we know how important and how valuable that gift of life really is. If you would like to become a member of this crazy place called Desert Hills Lutheran Church, we're going to be having a new members class that is going to begin Thursday, October 12th at 9:30 in the morning. Spread the word for that, because we so often we hear people that say, oh, I would like to join, but aren't able to for a variety of reasons, or the timing doesn't work. Just continue to spread that word and then call the church office so that we can make sure that there is enough materials for those that are intending on being members here. I believe that's the announcements for this day. Let's continue our worship with a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you that you, oh God, have called each one of us here in this moment, in this time, whether in person or online. We know that your Spirit is that which allows us to hear your words of promise, your words of encouragement, your words of hope. And yes, O God, because of your Son, the words of forgiveness and grace. God, as your people today, fill us with your promise. Fill us with that encouragement. Through those difficult times of our week, we ask always that you would watch over and give us that moment of time where we are able to have that peace that passes all that human understanding. God, we pray all of these things because of and through your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. We sing our opening songs.
Little children, do not worry, 'cause you still got lots of time. There's no need in walking backwards. Turn around and rise and shine. If your load always seems heavy and you're always left behind, pick yourself up from the ground and jump right back and rise and shine. Rise and shine in the early morning. Shine your light out through the day. Makes no difference what they tell you. Stand right up and have your say. 'Cause the good Lord said he loved you, and to him you're strictly fine. Even though the world may use you, turn around and rise and shine. Look at all they did for Jesus, why they nailed him to the cross. But he died out there on Calvary so the world would not be lost. So no matter how they treat you, if they slap you in the face, just remember Jesus loves you. On that cross he took your place. Rise and shine in the early morning. Shine your light out through the day. Makes no difference what they tell you. Stand right up and have your say. 'Cause the good Lord said he loved you, and to him you're strictly fine. Even though the world may use you, turn around and rise and shine. in the early morning. Shine your light out through the day. Makes no difference what they tell you. Stand right up and have your say. 'Cause the good Lord said he loved you, and to him you're strictly fine. Even though the world may use you, turn around and rise and shine. I was sinking deeper in, far from that peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now saved am I.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. And our litany spoken responsively. In the vineyard of God's kingdom, we are gathered to worship. For God's grace is abundant and available to all. So let us worship together, celebrating the graciousness of our God. Amen.
If you're weary from climbing mountains and you've been troubled with heavy rain, if you're drinking from the fountain that never quenches your thirsty dream, that satisfies. When your wisdom grows weak from hunger, that's when your soul needs the bread of life. Then come along and walk with me. We'll find the keeper of heaven's keys. When we find him, he'll set us free. Come along. Children of Abraham, then let us prove it by telling others about the shepherd who loves his lamb. Then come along and walk with me. We'll find the keeper of heaven's keys. When we find him, he'll set us free.
Today's first scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place, and I know thy hand will bring me safely home by thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger bought me with his precious blood. To grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh. Take and seal it for thy courts above. Teach me some. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love.
Today's second scripture reading is a continuation of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 8. Jesus said, "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said. 'And you have made them equal to us who have bore the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the first will be the last will be the first, and the first will be the last." The Gospel of the Lord.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each heart here in the sanctuary this morning or listening online be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, we do pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, the risen Son of God. Amen. As you came into the parking lot, you saw the sign, didn't you? It's not fair. It's not fair. Okay, I'm going to ask for a call of hands. How many of you have said those words? If you haven't, you're lying. No. Sorry. Good thing we're forgiven. No. One of the things is it's so much a part of our human nature, I think, because for some silly reason, we've got a notion about what we think is fair. that nice little, and you can put that on in your discussion, and we're going to talk about it a little bit through the sermon. But it's that idea of trying to figure out that our human understanding of being fair is not God's. Because truly, if God was going to be fair, I don't need to finish that statement, do I? We get our parable today, and Jesus is again trying desperately to help people to figure out what this kingdom of God is going to be like. You know, what this kingdom of God that Jesus is trying to tell the people is come into the world. Not the old kingdom, not the old way of doing things, but that new way of understanding that allows people to see how open God is to welcoming all into that kingdom which he is creating through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so again, we have the parable today. The parable that seems to just tug at our hearts because we've been there. It's one of those where the vineyard owner, he goes to the marketplace, and that's where you get your laborers, folks. Went to the marketplace. And he went ahead and he break of day and he gets workers in his vineyard. And I don't know if he needed more workers or what, but he made that second trip about 9 o'clock and got some more workers. And the thing is, as a day wage, I should have backed that up, a day's wage is a denarii. That really is a day's wage. Everybody knew it. It was the going rate. It was the minimum wage of the day. It really was that everybody expected to get that for a day's full day's wage. And so it was not uncommon then to have the workers, oh yeah, we know we're going to get our denarii, thank you very much. And then the 9 o'clock people come, and he probably needs some more, and he says, well, here's some more workers, we'll go ahead and we'll allow them into the vineyard. Then he comes again at noon, and there are still people in the marketplace. Now, whether he needs them or not, he says, go work. And then, lo and behold, 3 o'clock in the afternoon shows up. There are still some people working or that are in the marketplace. He says, go. And finally, at 5 o'clock, he goes back to the marketplace. Whether he needs them or not, he asks them, why are you still here? The words are, no one has hired us. And he looks to them and says, you too, you go in the vineyard. Several years ago, I was looking at this scripture. And you know how those things that, and I really do believe that God puts in our brain cell, and especially this one, because I can't come up with these ideas. It's literally that idea of God coming. And the idea of, I suddenly asked the question, why were they still in the marketplace? Why? Why were those people still there at 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock, even noon? Why were they left there? And that humanness that showed up was that, well, who are chosen first? Who were those first group of people that the vineyard owner went into the marketplace to find? Those that he knew could do a full day's work. We had the people, the guys, and I'm going to be really sexist, but that's okay because we're talking guys here at this point. These guys were the burly ones. These were the that knew that they could be out in the vineyard, of which I resemble, but we'll come back to that one. But those are the folks that you hire. If you're going to do laboring, if you're going to be moving out of your house, you're not going to get these wimpy people that look about like sticks, are you? You're going to want those weightlifters to lift that grand piano that your wife made you buy. No, no. I bought it. And it's only a baby grand. But it's that idea of you want to have people that can do the work. You want people to do the work. And literally, as the day went on and progressed, it's almost like what happened perhaps when you were picking teams in school. And I actually did write this in that nice little sermon note thing. You know, you go and you go, yeah, he's the best player. Okay, second best, third best, fourth best. And then you have that pity pick. You know, that one that's at the end and says, I don't want him. Well, you take him, I'll take this one. You know, that's part of, you know, so we think about that in the scripture. And that actually happened to me during high school. We actually had a unit of physical education on wrestling, okay? Ninth grade, I was 110 pounds, 105, somewhere's in there. And what the teacher did, which I thought, okay, fine, lined us all up, okay? Did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, all the ones get together, all the twos get together, all the threes get together, and within those five, within your five classmates, figure out who weighs the least and who weighs the most, and that will be the weight classes that we wrestle in the school, or, you know, in that class period. At 100, I'm going to make this up, I think it was 110 pounds. I was the heavyweight in my five friends. The closest I got to wrestling someone of my own weight was a kid that was 145 pounds. That was the quarterback of the football team. Yeah. I just laid on the mat and went, okay, I'm done. But it was one of those things of where I've never felt that feeling of like, I know where this is headed. And I think about that. I think about when we think about what we are to do and where we think we rank in the kingdom of God. It's like here we have these people all in the marketplace. And again, this is a parable that Jesus is telling us. It's a parable of trying to figure out who gets into the kingdom of God. Because we certainly have understood that idea of where those that were lifer churchgoers, those ones that would work in the vineyard all day, they have been working at church since the time they were baptized into that as a little kid in that baptismal font, have never left church, and lo and behold, and they have been so much a part of it that they think that they are owed more. And you think about those that come much later. Those that come and say are literally realizing the promise that God has made to them. And it's that opportunity again to see how Jesus is trying so desperately to invite those who thought that they were not worthy. Think about that marketplace. Think about those people, of course, that were there at 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They expected nothing less. Because for whatever reason, perhaps, they knew they could not perform a full day's wage out in the field. Whether it was something physical, whether if it was a broken arm, whether it was an age thing. They knew their place. They knew that those guys that are always there in the marketplace, they knew they were going to get picked first. And lo and behold, they were suddenly going when they probably know that they at that point, at a certain point of the day, that they probably are not going to get money to take and buy food for their families. Because they knew the system. They knew how it would work. They knew that these guys would always get the best, and with any luck, we might have some crumbs. When they took, and when the landowner came in, when God came, and I'm going to use God, came and saw that they weren't hadn't been picked, he looked to them and said, "How come? Why are you still here?" And that idea about because no one has hired us. Think of that for a second. You have spent days, weeks with not being chosen. Not thinking that you are worthy enough to do work. And so you continually then are knowing that you can't support your family because of whatever reason. And they are used to getting just a minuscule, if not no work at all. And when the landowner comes and he says to them, "You, I don't care. It's 5 o'clock. The day is only going to be stopping at 6. You, go work in my vineyard." Imagine at that point their joy in understanding that somebody has chosen me to be part of what they could do and work in a vineyard, even though they might not have been able to do a full day's wage. At least they could say that they did something. We know the story. When it came time for the overseer to pay, landowner said, "Please pay them." And those people that came at 5 o'clock that were barely sweaty, when they came up and they were expecting it would be, you know, if they got just a minute amount of money, they were already figuring out how few little food we could buy to support our family on just that little amount. Imagine, if you will, that joy when they got a full day's wage that they probably have never had for many weeks or months because of whatever reason that they got that. Can you imagine that unbridled joy of literally taking that coin and running home and saying, look what I earned, look what I did, that sense of joy, that uncontrollable understanding of that blessing that this landowner gave to them. That literally they knew they didn't do a full day's pay. They knew they didn't deserve it. And yet here it was, grasped in their hand. And they could take and be in support. As Jesus' parables go, of course, those that have been waiting all day, that they've been working all day, they've been sweaty, they're grimy, they're stinky, they're going, "Hey, did you see that? They got a full day's wage. We just work in an hour. Well, we've been working for 12 hours. I bet we're going to get more." They come up. "Here is the day's wage." Are they happy? Are they excited? Are they, "Yes, this is what we worked for. This is what we agreed to. And here it is. I can't wait to go home and share it." And they're going, "No. You owe us more. You owe us more." Your kids. Okay? Are you ready? Okay? Now, I don't know if you've got brothers and sisters, but we're going to pretend that you've got one of those people, okay? And your mom or dad says, "Okay, I'm going to have both of you Go out in the backyard and rake leaves. You know that raking leaves stuff? Okay? And I'm going to have you guys do that. And then you guys will split the money, the $5 that I'm going to give you. Okay, who should we make the bad guy? The boy or the girl?
Boy.
The boy, thank you. Yeah. So the daughter is raking the leaves, and the brother is just piling them up and laying down. How was that? Was that good? Okay. And so basically they come back, and mom says, okay, here's your $5 to split. Mom, he didn't do a thing. Well, whose fault is that? No, no. But that feeling of it's not fair. It's just not fair. Because truly in that experience, then how in the world could it be? And Jesus is trying so desperately to get us off of that understanding about what is fear. What is it? And that's where that word of grace appears. We're so messed up in so many ways. And God is so patient with us. And I'm so thankful. But think that we have been given a gift. We have God's love. We have God's forgiveness. We've got his presence. We've got his grace. We've got a life that is filled with a sense of hope and wonder in believing the promise, even of resurrection that God has given to us. We've got it. It's not like we can get more. It's not like we can say, oh, if God, I want to get more and more and more of this good news, because at some point, it's like we've already got it. How can you have more? And so some people will say then about that idea that there are those that do not know that wonderful joy and that wonderful hope that God gives. And we talk about that a little bit, about that feeling of those that have lived less than honorable lives, and have literally then on their deathbed have done that wonderful confession of, oh God, please forgive me. And there's a part of us that goes, it's not fair. It's not fair. Why should they be able to do that? And what I tell people as they come to me about doing that is they missed out on your life of grace. They have missed 70 years of knowing that they are loved and cared by a Heavenly Father. One of the things that we have a tendency to do is we forget that God is the landowner. That we don't deserve any of this, but God has entrusted to us that wonderful gift and said, here, take it. Take it and live it and find that sense of joy that comes from believing that promise that God is always with us. When the landowner goes to those that wanted to have more than their average wage, the landowner said to them, what's it to you? It didn't cost you anything. It cost me as the landowner that I only got 1 hour of work out of these folks. It didn't harm you at all. We get a chance this day and every day to live out that promise, knowing that God has touched us and God has blessed us and that God has made us his own. And that, yes, as we go through our lives, we'll know those people that are coming new to the church, those people that have found themselves excluded in a variety of ways. And here is Jesus telling these people of saying, guess what? Whether you're a lifer or whether you're a new, it doesn't matter, because that blessing that God has given to you is as relevant for you as it is for them, as it is for me. Because God declares it. God is generous. And God is gracious. So, whether you were picked last, picked first, you still played. Know that God has instructed us and God has given us that privilege that in his kingdom, all are welcome. And all get to work and all get to play in his vineyard and in his kingdom. May this day be that blessing which has come to you now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, continue to fill us with the wonder that is you. Fill us with that promise that is your grace. Fill us with that promise that is your word. We do all of these things because of you, the one who has created and the one who invites us into a gracious relationship with you. In your name we do pray. Amen. We sing our hymn.
When you're standing alone with the mountains and sea, where the arms of the world open wide, where the truth is as plain as the falling rain, and as sure as the time and the tide, you know we're all his children, his next of kin. That's the way it began. No matter where you're going or where you've been, you're part of the family of man. When you walk down the road and the sun is on your side, with the sweet river breeze for your face, though you don't hear a sound as you look around, everything sort of falls into place. And you know we're all his children, his next of kin. That's the way it began. No matter where you're going or where you've been, you're part of the family of man. Next of kin, that's the way it began. No matter where you're going or where you've been, you're part of the family of man.
Together, let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will now have the gathering of our offerings.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear I first have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures.
Psalm 145 praises God for who he is and what he does. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. All your works praise you. Lord, your faithful people extol you. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living being. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come this day to give you our thanks, our prayers, our gifts of time, and the ability to proclaim your good news to a world that is in need of your word of hope. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those who have recently died, including Ray Robinson and Carolyn Larson. O Lord, receive them into the arms of your eternal love. We pray that you would be with their family and friends who grieve. May they always know the resurrection and the peace that passes all human understanding. Lord, in your mercy. New to the prayer list are Jim Kosick, Barbara Blake, Jan Marshaniak, Carolyn Tollefson, and Sheila Westrich. We pray for all who continue to be on our prayer list and for those who we know to be in special need of your care and compassion. We now silently pray to bring our own cares and concerns before you. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, we pray for the brokenness in our world. We pray for those who are in the midst of wars and conflicts. Be with those who are caught in the middle. Give those that are working towards peace your wisdom, your strength, and your encouragement. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you have called us by name, claimed us, and have made us your workers in the vineyard. Give us the strength to know that you are the one who gives us the ability to be your heart and hands as we share your grace that is so needed in others' lives as well as in our own. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, give us your strength as we face the challenges that come to us this week. Help us to know that no matter what, you are there, giving us what we need in that moment of our lives. Help us to listen to your words because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, in your mercy, let us join our voices together as we pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hear the blessing that comes from God. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we sing our closing song.
In my soul, it's the only way I know. Watching every move I make, guiding every step I take, I've got Jesus in my soul. I was lifted one night by God's blinding light, and it took me right out of my sleep. As as his love entered in and washed away my sin. And I praise him down on my knees. I've got Jesus in my soul. It's the only way I know. Watching every move I make, guiding every step I take. I've got Jesus in my soul. Even though as a sinner I was no beginner, and I'm glad I never made the grave. Yes, I'm thankful every day for the prayers that were made. They were answered and my soul was saved. I've got Jesus in my soul. It's the only way I know. Watching every move I make, guiding every step I take. I've got Jesus in my soul. Jesus in my soul, it's the only way I know. Watching every move I make, guiding every step I take. I've got Jesus in my soul. I've got Jesus in my soul. I've got Jesus in my soul.
Peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
One, two. I've got Jesus in my soul. It's the only way I know. Watching every move I make, guiding every step I take. I've got Jesus in my soul. Jesus in my soul, it's the only way I know. Watching every move I make, guiding every step I take. I've got Jesus in my soul. I've got Jesus in my soul. I've got Jesus in my soul.